In July 2012, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration released a risk evaluation and mitigation strategy for extended-release pain medications. How will this strategy affect patients in pain and the doctors who treat them? That's the subject for this edition of the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org, practicalbioethics.org. Joining us now from Salt Lake City is Dr. Lynn Webster, President-elect of the American Academy of Pain Medicine. First, Dr. Webster, your general reaction to this REMS, as they call it.
It's been a long time in coming. That's my initial response. I think most people are aware that the FDA, industry, all of the stakeholders have been working on something for about 3 years, and so it's... I think it's a bit of a relief that they finally have come out with their plan.
Well, this is something where this REMS is a way of increasing education and training of both practitioners and patients around the use of these pain medications. Can you talk about that, please?
Yes. You know, the intent here is for us to try to make the use of opioids safer. I think everyone in the country understands that there has been an unacceptable level of harm, both within the patient population, the people who are experiencing chronic pain, as well as in the in society, in the communities where non-medical use has skyrocketed. So something has to be done that's going to help curb the problem of prescription drug abuse and unintentional overdose deaths. That's the intent. So we've got different domains. The FDA has defined that they think that should be covered in educational programs. We at the American Academy of Pain Medicine have anticipated the domains, but have actually, independent of what the FDA has done, decided and done our own research to come up with what we think all physicians should know in order to safely prescribe opioids. And we've come up with what we think that patients should know in order to help mitigate the harm if an opioid is prescribed to them.
These REMS goals are to reduce risk and improve the safety of these medications while also ensuring access to patients in pain. Do you believe that they meet this, what is essentially a balancing act?
Oh, I think it's going to be hard to know. I think we're going to have good measurements, good assessments, and monitor this closely. I think that is the critical issue, of course. Will we be able to have an impact on reversing the harm that's been associated with the medications and yet maintain access? I think there are a lot of opinions about that, but I believe that, and I think I can speak for the Academy, that we believe that education is needed and that physicians need to be better educated. But it's going to take a lot of work with all of the stakeholders in order for us to reverse this trend, because it's only addressing the extended-release opioids or long-acting opioids, and we still have a lot of immediate-release opioids that are not within this REMS program. And, you know, if you look at the data, much of the harms associated with immediate-release opioids and benzodiazepines or sleep aids. So, it's not going to solve all of the problems, but it might be a step in the right direction, and so we embrace that.
Physician training, one key element of the REMS, along with an assessment of how many physicians participate, but the training is not mandatory at this point. Would some consider that a weakness?
I think some would. I personally feel that, and I think I can speak for the Academy, we believe that education should be mandatory. This is something that very little is taught in our medical schools, very little about pain medicine is taught in our residency programs, and yet it is the number one reason why patients see physicians, that is, for a complaint of pain. So we need a lot more education about how to address pain, but particularly how to manage and prescribe opioids safely. So, yes, education is desperately needed.
Well, it appears that the Obama administration wants to make the training mandatory, if I read what the FDA is saying about this correctly, but they have to go through Congress to do it, and that's slowing things down in terms of making it mandatory.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. And then once it is mandatory, there's of course an issue about what is the content and how much education is necessary to bend the curve, if you will. And I think that 2 to 3 hours is not much education when you're looking at a problem as large as the one that the country has.
The Institute of Medicine report on pain last year included a strong focus on education, and if I'm hearing you correctly, it seems like this strategy, this REMS, is aligned with that focus that was presented by the IOM last year.
It is, indeed. The Institute of Medicine is very interested in expanding education. Of course, they were focusing on a broader educational platform. That is, we need more education within medical schools and in our residency programs, but the REMS program is really addressing mostly the clinicians who are in practice. And it's really just a slice of what the Institute of Medicine, I think, had in mind and what we need.
In a statement issued by your organization, the American Academy of Pain Medicine, it mentions that the organization will be issuing a series of best practices for both patients and prescribers. Can you give us a preview of what might be included in that?
Yes. Actually, these are going to be called the eight principles of safe prescribing. And then we have eight principles for patient consumption of opioids. And this will be something we're going to be promoting. For example, it'll be about assessing risk and how to assess risk and how to initiate opioid therapy, how to rotate from one opioid to another. We have basically created a safe opioid prescribing course around these safe principles, these eight safe principles, and we've also created an educational program for consumers, that is patients and their families, around eight principles for them to follow. So if every physician in the country who prescribes an opioid really understood the eight principles of prescribing and every patient received the eight principles about how to safely consume an opioid and store opioids in their home, I'm absolutely convinced that the harm would be dramatically reduced in this country within a very short time.
A bottom line question then, Dr. Webster, with the REMS and the other things that are going on around pain management, pain medication, are we making progress?
There has been some progress, actually. And if you take a look at the CDC report, the last one on methadone deaths, you see that there's been a significant decline, almost a 15% reduction in methadone deaths. Interestingly, we started in the state of Utah, where I am from, a program about 6 years ago, and we've noticed almost a 30% reduction in unintentional overdose deaths in our state. All of this was largely based upon both an educational program to physicians that contains the same eight points that we're trying to make national, and a community effort to educate consumers as well as patients. So this was in conjunction with the Utah Department of Health. And so if you take a look at the statistics in Utah and the national statistics on the reduction in methadone deaths, I think you can see that everyone would have to agree that we're beginning to see some improvement in the right direction.
Dr. Lynn Webster is president-elect of the American Academy of Pain Medicine. Dr. Webster, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
For more information, visit painmed.org. That's painmed.org. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.